My name is Michael Lippmann. I'm product manager of the OpenSUSE project. And I'd like to give you an overview about the current status of 10.1 and the upcoming 10.2 with my colleague Christoph Thiel.
Yeah, as already said, I'm Christoph Thiel. I have joined SUSE just about 1 year ago when we were in early planning for OpenSUSE. I'm only there part-time because I'm studying at the University of Erlangen-Nuremberg, but right now we don't have university, so I'm here to present to Michael. Well, let's have a look at the outline.
Yeah. We're first going to 10.0, so we have a look back, what happened there, highlights and features of 10.1, and go then into 10.2 future prospects, and I'd like to have then with you guys a discussion about the future, especially what to put into 10.2 and so.
Right. That's why we actually do this talk, to get your feedback and to get a sense of if the direction we're going in is the right one. So, 10.1 in retrospect, Michael.
So, with 10.0, we had for the first time the open beta test, open Baxilla as well. We received heavy testing by the community. In 10.0, we had two-thirds of the bugs were reported inside of SUSE Linux and Novell, and one-third from the outside. And already with 10.1, this changed to, by and large, 50-50. So the number of bugs and bug reporters from outside is steadily growing. With 10.0 already, we could include the first contributions from the community. Do you remember what it was exactly?
Well, one of the things we included were the alternative package managers such as apt, which were contributed by the community, and yum and smart. And other pieces include something near, I think, of PowerSafe and boot time improvements and something around there.
We started with 10.0 with bi-weekly betas and came up with one public release candidate. Final release was beginning of October. And again, for the first time, 10.0 was downloadable from day one on. And up till today, it was installed more than 1 million times. So I think it was yesterday about 1.1 million or so. So we passed 1 million installations already, which is a strong or dramatic increase to former versions.
Yeah, something to add there is that a downloadable version from day one on has not happened before with SUSE Linux, because in the past, we always had to take care of revenue and therefore try to relay and push back the downloadable versions by like 2 months or so. So this is a huge improvement. Let's have a look at 10.1 now and what's the status there.
For 10.1, we started to have monthly alphas. So last September already, so prior to 10.0, we started already the alpha phase for 10.1 and switched in January to a beta phase, and offering now not bi-weekly betas, weekly betas, if we don't have a delay as we had with beta 4, right?
Correct. In the past, with 10.0, we had bi-weekly betas and had every other beta was just internal, so we had time to test it and have a stable beta version out for the community. This has changed, and there's no more delay, and we just released the betas to the community because we really trust them and think that they can work with us better if we give them every better version. So with the factory development tree, which is the code base for 10.1, we have a installable tree out there which can be installed every day with the status that's in our build system and with all the packages that have been checked in just one day after they have been checked in. This may be inconsistent sometimes because, for example, if you check in the package and this package will trigger failing packages. Those failing packages will not be built, and therefore old packages will be capped in the build system, and therefore sometimes it might be inconsistent. But at a beta release, this tree will be basically consistent, and you can use it to install, and I think that's a really huge improvement. Next slide.
Ah, we had a funny story with the OSS edition of SUSE Linux. So we will get rid of this with 10.1. So there's only one SUSE Linux. It has two flavors. At openSUSE.org, you find only the open source version, the version with some proprietary stuff is located at ftp.suse.com. But linked from openSUSE.org as well, but there's no differentiation between one SUSE Linux and the other, because the base system is just the same. We changed or improved our media layout to 5+1. So we offer the 5 CDs is open source only, and we have one CD which contains the binary stuff or the proprietary stuff. And yeah, nice thing, we've now already in the beta phase, CD1 is sufficient for a minimal installation, and CD1, 2, 3, you get a base system with both that with GNOME and KDE desktop for German and English. So yeah, this is just a nice thing to avoid larger downloads.
Yeah.
And I think it's for many people just the right thing to have, as they're not interested in more packages or so, especially for the normal, the end user who's looking just for a stable distribution.
Yes, and it will offer you the possibility to just download 3 or actually 1 CD and then download the packages you need if you want from the internet and have the packages you need. So let's have a look at the next slides. Some version numbers that we have in 10.1, as you probably know already. We will probably ship, some of the version numbers are projected numbers. We're currently 2.6.16. We included Xen 3 for virtualization. We have included AppArmor 2.0, which is GPL just recently. And if you're interested in AppArmor, you can visit a talk of Crispin, which will take place tomorrow, I think, at, is it 2 p.m.? Okay, it's 2 p.m. So that's really interesting stuff. We have, or will probably have, GCC 4.1. We might have GLibc 2.4, KDE 3.5.1 is included, GNOME 2.12.2, and all the stuff like OpenOffice 2 and Firefox and Thunderbird 1.5. Let's check. Yeah, some of the highlights and features that we have included at installation are the new and improved media layout, as Michael already elaborated. One thing that's also new is the new package manager, which has lately caused some trouble because it's a bit flaky right now. But to give you a sense of what this is and why we're doing it, I've put down this slide to state some of the advantages that libzip, which is the library that our package manager is based on now, gives us. First and foremost, we have a better dependency resolver than before, because we've integrated both the best of breed of the YAST package manager and the Zimian Rick Carver stuff. We have a common handling for both software packages and patches, which has not been the case because we always had the software installation and the new updates, and this has been integrated now and will help a lot, I guess. We also introduced the possibility for updates to have dependencies, so an update can pull in another package which might be needed. This has not been able to, we were not able to do this with 10.0, for example. We've also introduced a new thing, so-called patterns, which supersede the selections. which are groups of packages that gets in that get installed at runtime at the installation. Those patterns also have the possibility to, for example, pull in other repositories and stuff like that. If you're interested in that, just go on OpenSUSE.org and find all the detailed description of patterns. You can also enable additional channels at installation. For example, you can pull in the Pacman repositories to have, for example, all the packages that Pacman offers just installed at installation time and not later in the running system. We also have a much more flexible handling of different repositories, as I already told, with the patterns, for example. And we can also offer patterns, of course, with other repositories. So the Pacman crew could also offer a pattern which is called, for example, multimedia stuff, which includes all the funny stuff that the Pacman crew offers. We have some things, or most of the things that are in Linkzip are for the enterprise products and are not yet ready for SUSE 10.1, but things like remote management will probably be there in 10.2. So this is really things that you want to have when you're using it in an enterprise environment. Also, this package manager supports various installation repositories such as Jest, Yum, Metadata, ZenWorks, and the Red and Open Carpet servers, for example. And probably many more to come if you contribute them. Maybe if you have questions, we'll take them now or just proceed.
Just one thing, by the way.
Yes.
Seeing that you're joining Jest and machine and Red Carpet.
Yeah.
My question is if the Red Carpet daemon remains, then.
You mean if the Red Carpet daemon is running or some kind of daemon is running in the background?
You know, the Jest has a daemon, is that?
Yeah.
And the Red Carpet has a daemon.
Correct.
So in the result?
In the result, there will be a thing called ZMD daemon that will be running, which will handle some of the installation stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So both.
So you remain, you have. You still have the ability from a remote host to order and
yeah, sure. That's the remote stuff, the remote management. That will be also included there. So I think we can just go on to the next slide, or you want to ask them. Good. Some highlights and features in the kernel area include the kernel module packages, which have been introduced like a few weeks ago, which offers a wonderful way of creating kernel modules for running kernels and have preserved them at updates. So when you now build kernel module, this one can require a certain kernel ABI to be there. And if it's not there, the kernel update or a security kernel update would just not happen. And the user would be told you cannot update the kernel because you have module X running and it needs the current kernel. This has lots of great improvements also if there's hardware which is released after we release the SUSE version that can be enabled with new modules via this KMP mechanism. Well, as I already told, we've incorporated AppAlmor 2, which improves security for lots of cases. We've also KAxis support, which lets you boot another kernel without going through the BIOS again. It can speed up reboots, for example, and you can update kernels while running a kernel. An important step was that we dropped the kernel non-GPL packages, which included lots of binary-only drivers and stuff that was not compliant to GPL and open source. This has been a step that has been planned for a long time, and now it was taken into reality. And maybe Michael can comment on that if you want.
Yeah, I think we got flamed. I think 2 weeks ago, as the it was not that clear which drivers we dropped. So it's only the non-GPL kernel drivers So some people called me or sent me mails, as they said, they understood that all the binary stuff will be dropped, which is not the case.
Correct.
Some kernel drivers are dropped, and that is to follow the GPL rules, and especially
also
with AVM. So we are with some hardware vendors in conversation and discussions to get some solution.
Yeah, I understand that we are working with ATI and NVIDIA and also with the ABM folks offer their modules via the KMP mechanism because they can then build their own modules and take care that they always deliver the latest version of their modules for the customers. So I see a question there.
But will that be ready for 10.1?
Yes, it will. Maybe we should also say that, yeah?
We're talking about kernel modules and non-GPL.
Yeah.
Just like you, you can download the NVIDIA drivers.
Yeah.
Would that be possible through YAST with the ATI drivers, for example? Or
yes,
like
we used to do this via scripts, but the kernel module packages offer a much more flexible way to have actually the vendor offer the packages in a kind of repository which you can add to YAST, and then you will always get the latest features from them and the latest drivers. Another thing that we did was a huge ACPI update which improves suspended disk and suspended RAM, which is now basically working on almost every laptop, and if it's not working, it's mostly a hardware problem, and we are of course very interested in bug reports in that area. And of course, many, many more stuff in the kernel which cannot be listed here. Okay, next slides. So you want to take that one, or should I just go ahead?
Go ahead.
All right. I think you've all seen the news release on the XGL 3D accelerated X servers with lots of iCaddy stuff and things like that. This is in the current beta, and you can download it and try to get it to work. If you have decent hardware, like the GeForce 4 or 5, it gives you all the nice iCaddy effects, as I said already, and you can actually check it out outside at our booth. We have some laptops there that feature it, so be sure to check out. And there's actually a website on opensuse.org/XGL, which has all the information you need to know how to get it and things like that. Another thing that we introduced with 10.1 is the so-called Network Manager, which lets you configure the networks and wireless networks that you're walking through. It improves networking on laptops because when you walk around, you have different wireless networks, for example, at work and at home, and the Network Manager can help you to manage those networks. We've also integrated the Beagle search into both KDE and GNOME. This used to be a problem in KDE often, which should have been solved now.
Will that include VPA? The VPA supplicant also support? Or?
The VPA supplicant is a network manager, of course. Yeah, it's used for the VPA too. And I actually saw a message yesterday that VPA Enterprise was implemented just yesterday. We've enhanced, as always, the power management stuff, and we've actually added support for the upcoming dual core laptops that will ship this year. This is also included in 10.1. And one thing that you'll notice when you use a laptop is that we have very much improved the support for external monitors and beamers and projectors and stuff like that, which will help you to do presentations as we do it now, because the laptop just realizes if there's an external output, and it will help a lot. Good.
One question about Beagle. There's
yeah.
also a project called CAT that you did include in 10.0.
Yeah.
So that's for KDE, it's similar to Beagle, but from the KDE part. Is that
Correct.
Also included, or like Beagle's integrated with KDE now? CAT also be included, or is
I guess it's included, but I cannot tell for sure. But the Beagle part of KDE is done by a tool called Carry, I guess. Be sure to talk to the KDE
okay.
developers, they will
okay.
tell you.
Okay.
with some of them with us. Any other questions? So that's it for the feature part on 10.1, and let's now talk about future prospects.
Yeah, of course, we try to incorporate community contributions, as you saw already on the traffic on the main list, or the communication we have, our IEC meetings. So the more feedback and input we get, the better, and of course we try to incorporate everything which is useful for the distribution.
Right. We've actually gotten so much feedback that we weren't able to include all of that in 10.1, because 10.1 is also a release that features a lot of enterprise stuff, or we have to do a lot of enterprise stuff because there's an upcoming enterprise server and an enterprise desktop, and therefore we didn't have the time to incorporate all the feedback and the contributions we got. We'll try to focus on that on 10.2.
Further, 10.2 will be polished to support the OpenSUSE build service. So that is, I think that's a point for you.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done in the package manager to be able to browse all the different projects that we'll have in the build server. And we'll also try to have the first packages actually built in the build server and put them onto the distribution. This will help us to clean a lot of the wish lists that we have at opensuse.org, where people request packages, and now we can have the community actually build those packages and we'll put them into the distribution via the build servers. This is a huge improvement.
Next point is the funny thing, we implement support for unsupported file systems, meaning that even unsupported file systems as
for example, JFS, lots of people have asked for
that. So you can run them on SUSE Linux.
Yeah, but you'll get a huge red warning sign that will tell you, no, we won't support that, but you're free to select it at installation time and you can try it out on your own risk.
Software patterns which we did for 10.1 now, I will rework them with the community, as by and large they were created very shortly at SUSE Linux, so there could be work to do, and we are happy to rework them to have the patterns fit for a SUSE Linux distribution.
Yeah, and we would also like to have an opportunity with the build server to have the community offer their own patterns. For example, if user Joe says he wants his lamp pattern, you can just create it in the build service and offer it to everyone.
On the desktop and mobility side, we have some improvements. So we will support the fingerprint sensors. So the newer laptops can have this fingerprint sensor to
authenticate.
To authenticate and unlock the machine. We will have better support for Bluetooth headsets, and the tablet PC usability will be improved, and very importantly, the support for card readers of any kind will be improved.
Yeah, these are just some various desktop and mobility features that we might do, or we are pretty sure about doing. For example, the built-in card reader support, to elaborate on that, lots of laptops that you buy today have a card reader included, but few of them actually work with Linux. So this will help you to use your camera cards in your laptop. Another thing that we would like to discuss with you, when the slides are back, is the fact that we would like to try to cut down the size of the core distribution to maybe 3 CDs. As of today, it's possible to have a default KDE installation with only 3 CDs and a GNOME installation as well. And we would like to get your feedback on if this is a good idea that we only ship 3 CDs and have the rest of the solution just downloadable or on a DVD. Let's open it up for questions, and feedback, of course. Do you think that's a good idea?
What would you take away?
We would just,
one of the problems we've got in Spain would be the language. So English in Spain isn't very spoken, it's not very common, so that would be a big problem.
So we would need to, we would need to try to remove all the packages that are duplicated. Mm-hmm. For example, we would try to cut down one web browser out of the default distribution to get the space to actually support as many languages as possible in this 3CD installation. I think lots of Asian languages will be problematic with that. Maybe we would need four.
Remember that valid point.
Yeah, it is.
You said you will ship also the DVD with the full package?
Sure. Yeah. The box. So the box will also include a DVD-9, which has all the packages that you can get from us. But for CD installation, we think that maybe three CDs is enough to support most of the use cases.
Would it be too much a mess for you to have a KDE and a GNOME different CD set? So that would reduce quite a lot.
I don't think so, because a lot of this, a lot of applications are needed by both, and libraries and stuff like that. And the things that are exclusive to GNOME and KDE are just a small part.
Would it be feasible to have, say, one mixed CD and then one KDE and one GNOME? So you only need two. Where you choose
we actually tried to do that, but we came to the point where it was much easier to do just three CDs. So you're thinking of just two CDs for GNOME and two CDs for KDE. We tried that, but it's really hard. We can try it again with 10.2 and discuss certain options.
Yeah. Why not release betas and release candidates in DVDs? It would be easier to test.
Yeah. We get a lot of questions in the area, and it's quite easy because lots of the infrastructure that we use is only able to deliver files at a size of a maximum size of 2 gigabytes. It will be quite problematic to offer files which are huge and therefore like 4 gigabytes or so. So you won't be able to download them. That's the answer.
Many people are.
Yeah, many people.
Yeah.
And we could offer them, for example, with Jigdo files where you only download single packages and then compile them together into a DVD on your local machine. But then you will step into other problems while burning the DVDs, which can be problematic as well.
Making a DVD easier is not that difficult.
Yeah, it isn't. But lots of people run into problems when they are burning it on their DVD burners and stuff.
And so on.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not for me, it's just one thing that now is sort of, I don't know why is this, everyone tends to publish ISOs.
Yeah.
And sometimes just to access a source RPM.
Yeah.
And then to download the whole ISOs just to get that source RPM.
Yeah.
It's this, should be very nice to have the classical FTP repository where I can pick just that source RPM,
exactly.
I have to modify, and then this, maybe if you are in your lab, it's not a problem of bandwidth, but when you are on a DSL, you share with, it's sort of, you have to go back years when you download things by night, and it's painful to do that, so it would be a very nice thing just to keep the old weight.
Actually, I'm not aware of any ISO image that we offer that contains source RPMs. We only have the FTP trees, if I remember correctly. But I'm pretty sure we only have FTP trees. So be sure to check out the download opensuse.org. Yeah.
Sorry if I'm not up to date on this, but these extended hardware support, is that going to be only GPL drivers? Or are they going to be binary-only proprietary drivers in it as well? At least in, this is talking about the box product, right? SUSE.
Yeah, this is talking about the KMP mechanism is not exclusive to SUSE Linux, but also it's also used in SLES, and it's really useful there. Yes, it will include binary-only drivers. For example, if NVIDIA chooses to offer a KMP which features their their Fire GL driver, for example, this will be a binary only driver, of course. But that's up to the vendors that offer it.
How long will you support 10.1 or 10.2 with security updates? The last years, I think all the SUSE distributions were supported 2 years, so it's very long.
That remains the same, but actually that brings me to the point where you could tell something about the release cycle that I didn't talk about yet.
But just for the support for updates and patches, it stays 2 years, so.
Yeah.
And with 10.1, we will change the release cycle to 8 months. So we change it from 6 to 8 months to fit better into the internal work process, especially related to SUSE Linux Enterprise Server.
Yeah.
The 2 years they start when do you start to count 2 years?
When there's the first release customer shipment. After the first customer shipment, the so-called Goldmaster. But to add into the release cycle change. People in the past have told us that we do so many releases a year, at the moment we do two, that's just too fast to catch up, so it's another opportunity to delay some releases and have extensive testing. We'll continue to put out alpha snapshots monthly and have to interface customers. So it's not only the internal workflows, it will also help the community. Okay.
To reduce the size of the 3CD, would it be possible on the OpenSUSE webpage to set up a polling system?
Sure.
Just like you did with the Novell. What packages do you want on a desktop?
Yeah.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. That people ask for Photoshop and Mac.
Yeah.
Something similar. Because, I mean, not everybody uses, or if you've got AMRAP, you've got XMLS, you've got, so maybe more people use one or the other, so you know.
That's a great idea. I think we should keep that and actually have a poll. Now, with the new wiki, which was introduced a few weeks ago, we actually have support for polls. Okay.
In the future roadmap, will there be any work done on kind of integrating SUSE with other Linux distributions on the package level, like say Hive and RPM for Mandriva?
Yeah.
Will it, you know, is there any thought or any work?
Well, there will be the perfect talk for you tomorrow morning. The build service talk by Michael Schrader. He will talk about building one package for different distributions, and I think that will answer some of your questions. So, with the cross-distribution compatibility, I think things like LSB will help, but there's still lots of differences, and Michael will talk about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Voting. You said you want to put voting system, or maybe there will be voting system on the wiki. Mm-hmm. But how about what Debian has a system that, well, they track the use of all packages. So, well, what users in practice use, because people that come to the wiki might be very vocal, but they might not be the average SUSE user. So I wonder, will there be something like automatic?
I'm not aware of anything that we're planning in that direction, but sounds like a great suggestion. Maybe we can incorporate something. But some people might want to agree to a policy if they upload those kind of statistics. So
well, then we ask you if you want to do this. Of course, you should ask it.
Yeah. Sounds like a good plan.
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
I'm still running SUSE 9, but I know that for 10 there has been a lot of work to minimize memory consumption and so on. Is that still continuing?
I think it is, but with current applications, you need lots of RAM. Because most of the applications are not written with memory in background, because lots of people have too much memory and they can just consume it without caring too much or worrying too much about memory consumption. So the answer would be like a clear no or yes. I'm not sure.
That would be more specific projects. For example, KD, there's a lot of use of Valgrind.
Yeah.
So that's the KD development team, not specific SUSE or Debian or Mandrake.
Yeah.
OpenOffice is also using Valgrind and a couple more projects, Mozilla and all that. So I think that's more.
That's up to the specific projects to care about memory consumption. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
To what extent will AppArmor be integrated with 10.1, or will it be enabled by default, or certain profiles will already be
I think we are aiming for enabling it by default, and we'll have some basic profiles for most of the applications, but I see Crispin raising his hand. Maybe he wants to comment on that.
I'd like to get a little customer data on what you want. We plan to enable it by default, but which profiles are enabled by default is an issue. For instance, I'm highly certain that the profile for Postfix will work for you and him and everybody, because Postfix does what Postfix does. The profile for Apache almost certainly won't, because I have never in my life met a web admin who will put the web docs in the same darn place. So if we enable Apache right out of the box, it won't work for you. You're going to have to start using AppArmor to change the profile. Should we enable that, or should we leave it off by default when you go find it?
But if you're interested in that hour, be sure to visit Christian's talk.
Okay.
All right, further questions? Don't be shy. Yeah.
I was thinking if you bring down the size of the core distribution to 3 CDs, you will already eliminate one problem you have with a lot of SUSE or a lot of Linux distributions in general, is too much choice for end users. Maybe for us that's not a problem, because we're geeks anyway, but average end user has a problem there. How much emphasis will you also put on integrating all the programs you decide for those 3 CDs into each other? Because I think that's also one very big area that end users, maybe they don't care about it, but they will care about it. So, you have any comments on that?
I have your question, Krishna. Do you have a
response to that?
Yeah, just go.
Great. NLD, Novell Linux Desktop, is designed to do what you suggested about reducing choice. For non-Linux users who want a Linux-based desktop, it doesn't offer you 5 mail clients and 7 browsers. It's got the browser and the mail client.
But I'm not talking about reducing choice, I'm talking about integrating all that software together. So for example, if you click a link, let's take something very easy, if you click a link in Kmail, it will open the web browser automatically on the correct page. If you have...
Does that now?
It does happen, it's a very easy example, but let's take something else, like if you have a Word document, it will automatically show in the web browser when you click on it, things like... Sorry?
I mean, most of these things, at least in KDE, I don't really know about GNOME, but if KDE uses Kpart, so if you see Word document, you can preview it with just within your file browser. You can even use it as tabs. All these things are very integrated. I mean, if you right-click a word on a web page, you can search it in dictionary. It will automatically fire up the necessary application. All these things are almost perfect, I guess. I mean, they could more integration between GNOME and KDE might be possible, but within at least KDE, it's the most integrated desktop environment you'll find.
That I agree with, yes. But I'm also thinking about things like user settings, taking over user settings from one application to another. Why should I have to enter once again? What my contact address is, where my different
I don't think that's an area where really it might be great if SUSE would be able to do such a thing, but I think that's really an area where GNOME and KDE and
really?
These yes, they have to do it themselves. I don't, SUSE might give them a bump, but they won't be able to force such a thing on them. I think it's too big to ask from a distribution.
such a thing. I mean, it's a great idea, but I don't think SUSE can do such a thing. It's just a bit out of their scope, I think.
For example, key control center, you can enter your user, your email, and all that stuff, and the KDE application should get it from Key Control Center. So if
no applications won't.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's true.
That's something that the SUSE thought they could do it, but that's too much work to not do it together with us.
To add a comment to that, I think it's one of the core things that we need to do as a distribution. We need to make sure that all the applications that we ship work together properly. But what you are asking for is maybe a bit far beyond that. And that's something that the individual projects need to take care of first of that. And then we can take it as a distribution to integrate it further.
That's the same reason. Maybe when you make a package of a video player, for example, you could be adding like a post sentence when you install the RPM that might change both profiles and norms and KDE, just to change that the preferred viewer is now the new program and not the old one. Yeah. But that should be optional for some people or not, because you are not sure if you are installing that new software. Could make that will change globally for other people,
right?
Then which might be then the way that when you uninstall it, it will go back to the settings. But it's very complicated because maybe you cannot be aware of the every version of GNOME is changing the behavior. Or KDE is also adding new features, which is quite complicated. So maybe this is a work for people from Freedesk.
Yeah.
The people who cares on the top level, the user interface, which is the first front for the users.
Yeah. I agree with that.
For the last version, for 10.1, is there going to be MP3 support out of the box?
Yes, it will.
All right. Okay. Sure. Then I have another question.
Yeah.
How about other multimedia codecs? How much is currently a box sold? I think, what is it?
A box is sold at like around 50 euros.
I would gladly pay much more to have multimedia support in it.
Yes,
and so do we.
All right. So it's simply not a matter of money, but it's a matter of you simply can't get these codecs legally, even if you want to pay for it. Is that
it's
right?
It's a really complicated task, but I think Michael can elaborate on that.
Okay.
Because it's his job as a product manager.
It is a complicated task, right? And we try to achieve it with the 9.2 or 9.3 already. And by and large, it's too expensive. Especially for a DVD player, you have to calculate, you have to pay 10 US per box additional.
Does
Microsoft
do that?
Well,
we
should have.
Anyway, they're more expensive.
$10 for each box.
And
depending on various other things.
The license, of course, then we would have a single seed license. So we sell you the box and that's it.
Oh, and you still want to allow people to install several?
Exactly.
Actually, to support DVD playback, you need various pieces of licenses, because there's some audio stuff that needs to be licensed, and you need some other stuff for the videos, the codecs. Therefore, it makes it really complicated to find a vendor that offers you all that integrated stuff.
However, you have the killer limits cost for the end user, because they all want to watch DVDs, and not everybody wants to go through installing the codecs and libdvd, CSS, and so forth.
Yeah.
I think even 50 euros, additional euros, might.
Yeah.
I mean, what does Windows cost? If you buy a computer with Windows on it, they can play with DVDs. All right, you might pay a lot of money for that. But
I'm not sure if it can even play encrypted DVDs with a default Windows version.
I'm not sure.
Default, indeed.
Ironically, there's on some boxes can play it because they have a pre-installed Linux partition with a DVD player on it, ironically.
Yeah, me and that's what I think.
Mm.
Yeah. Would it be an idea, years ago you sold wine as product,
yeah.
Wine rack. It was the commercial variants of wine for gaming was on that,
yeah,
and it was built for SUSE, I don't know, 9 dot something.
It was 9 dot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would it be possible to build packages with DVD support you sell with a license on? Okay, you are now, if you buy that, you can install it. They are packages which technically fit on SUSE Linux 10, and you have to pay the fee for license for MP3 playback, for encrypted DVD playback, and so on.
I
and you're now allowed to install this product on one workplace.
Yeah.
I think you bring that problem, or you make that problem less than it is, because you can't even know whom to pay for that shit. I mean, you can't simply know, because there are various corporations and various copyright holders and patent holders claiming that you have to pay them. So you have to figure out a way to whom to pay. And that's very, very, very hard.
But that can't be impossible, I think.
Not, of course it's not, nothing is impossible.
Many Windows players which do play encrypted DVDs, and you can...
Sure, but that's
you
also...
buy them.
That's also a question of how much risk you want to take.
Yeah. I'm not sure how many users would be
just
willing to. Yeah, it's a great idea. I actually saw Michael writing it down. So it's an option. But I'm not sure how many users would be willing to pay like $50 for just having MP3 and DVD support.
Especially
I'm
not
sure.
If you add Pacman to your repositories,
which
you get
is
it all free,
yeah. Which is no option for us.
No, I understand that, but from the customer point of view,
yeah.
Just add the Pacman and you're done. So
exactly.
Why should I pay $10 or?
Sorry.
Don't
say it too loud
if you call.
Yeah.
Pacman doesn't host anymore. The CS.
No,
but let's not get into legal details because we're actually recorded. We're not lawyers, so let's leave that up to the lawyers. Yeah.
I was just interested. How does Linspire solve this? Because I believe they offer like WMA and maybe even DVD support.
We don't know.
And
okay.
The same question.
Look, if they have some agreement in place. I don't know why
they might
have something.
We don't know.
That magic something.
And it also depends on which country you are in.
Yes.
It's so complicated, this topic.
There's no
other question.
Patents.
Yeah.
No software patents. Patents. That's the best solution.
That would be nice, yeah.
Okay, anything
else?
Sorry, I'm wondering about the next slide.
We're done, actually. In open discussion.
I made a list of some other questions, so if you...
Go ahead.
Alright.
Well, one of the first slides talked about the versions that are going to end up in 10.1. You're going to include the C compiler 4.1?
Yes, we have GCC 4.1, which is at RC1 stage as well, but we will update it. Like on a daily or weekly basis.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty. All right.
I expect it to be.
But why not Xorg 7?
Which one again?
X. Why 6.9? Why not 7
no,
then? I mean.
So you're talking about modular Xorg.
Yes.
Right?
Easier to update. I mean, you're modularizing other things.
Yeah.
Why not X?
Because X is such a core part of the distribution, you want to try to have something that's not really tested yet, and I think 6.9 works perfectly, and we have already enough topics to carry about, and things like the package manager are the focus right now.
Yeah. And
so it's also a question of resources.
And yeah, the was one other thing. Kubuntu has cleaned up the KDE interface a lot. I mean, are you planning on doing such a thing? At least, let's say they took another default look for Conqueror that just chose another profile as default. I mean, that's very little change.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wise? I mean, they told us no one complained about it. So,
have you wanted this as a feature request or suggestion already?
Yeah, it's I wonder if you planning on something like that. I mean,
I am not really into the KDE development, so you should probably ask the KDE developers that I run. I know Stefan Binder and Will Stevens are here. They're both working. They're not here in this room, but they're here at Fastum. So probably you want to talk to them and ask them just directly.
I also wondered about the new kernel. That's very new, 2.6.6.
Yes. But we have been testing it from a RC1 to RC4 where it's now, and we have done a lot of JIT updates and stuff like that, and we are pretty confident about having a stable kernel.
Yeah, well, because distributions, is coming out 1 month. Roughly after SUSE,
yeah.
But they are planning to include 2.6.15.
Yeah.
So are there some great things that you want 2.6.16 that you really want, or is it just, well, we can,
so we did it? Well, there are so many things that we probably want, like hardware enablement for certain drivers, the dual core support, and things like that, which are crucial for our enterprise product, so we just do it and want it. Well, I think. Oh, you have a question?
Just a small thing. You also skipped the OpenOffice org. Now, back when it was still release 1, Xenion also did some serious customization on OpenOffice org.
Yeah.
Now, with 2, okay, are you going to use a box standard OpenOffice org install? Or are there again novel only ameliorations to it? Even if it's just the art set or whatever?
I think the art set is different, the theming, but that should be pretty much it.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of other changes. Are you?
No.
Good.
Just a slight customization.
Yeah, just the sort of splashes. That should be it. So I think we are out of time now.
Yeah.
And would like to thank you for your patience and for feedback and questions. And be sure to be here tomorrow at 10 a.m. because we'll be giving out some vouchers for the upcoming 10-1 box, which will give you a free box. Probably the first 100 people who get it, be sure to get it. And we have t-shirts for everyone to use. So if you don't have a t-shirt yet, get one.